All right, we are finally live. Sorry about that. We were having a little banter about Whole Foods and some other non-essential stuff. So this is going to be the Android Headlines show. Tonight is Thursday, June 4th, and it's going to be episode 109. So last week we were a little busy with Google I.O., so we didn't have a show. So this week we're going to talk about what happened then and some other stuff that happened since then, since, you know, it's been a whole week, and that's forever in Techland. Tonight I'm joined by Alex from the site and our friend Kevin the Tech Ninja. Want to say hi, guys.
What's up, everybody?
Hello.
So, Kevin, should I let you introduce yourself now, or should we wait till the end of the show and you get disconnected again?
Yeah, well, my connection will go out by the end of the show, so get it in now while I'm here. Hey, guys, I'm Kevin. I'm Kevin the Tech Ninja. You can find me on YouTube, youtube.com/TechNinjaSpeaks. I'm a tech guy who loves Android, but I'm not a fanboy.
That's all right. We all have our preferences, right? That's how it goes.
Yeah. Of course.
So, as I said, Google unveiled quite a few things last week at their annual Google I/O conference, including the next big version of Android, which is obviously Android M instead of Android P or whatever, and that includes a brand new thing called Google Now on Tap, which is really cool. So, we'll go ahead and talk about the Android M features and not Google Now yet. Don't do it. All right. So, I guess first up, we'll just talk about the app permissions. So app permissions is a thing that iOS has done for a very long time. Chinese manufacturers have done really well on Android for a long time. Basically, just gives you the ability to change the permissions per app on a granular level. So if you have an app like, let's say, an illegal downloading app for videos that wants to get your location and you think that's kind of creepy, you can just shut location off and then you don't have to worry so much. And maybe the NSA can't find you as easily, who knows. So whatever goes on there, whatever kind of freaks you out in an app that you don't care for, you will be able to turn that off instead of just not downloading the app, which I guess, unless you have a phone that supports that, is kind of what I'm doing right now. There's a couple of developer things, like I guess Chrome custom tabs we can consider a developer thing, basically a way for developers to build Chrome into their app. So hopefully it's not as bloated as regular Chrome, but it's basically kind of a way to pass the links between your app and Chrome without having to go outside of the app. So I guess now you have to switch between apps, it come up with a goofy little dialogue asking you what your default would be. It's just not the greatest thing in the world to do. So just kind of cleaning things up, and that kind of seems to be the mantra with Android M is general cleanup, general UI enhancements. Visually, it really looks identical to Lollipop. I don't think anybody would be able to tell the difference just looking at it. Even using it, to be honest, it doesn't look or feel that different.
The font is slightly different, and I think I only really noticed because I was using the Nexus 6 on Lollipop for a few weeks before I flashed the M version. Right now, my Nexus 6 is dead, so I can't even show it, but the font is a little bit different.
Yeah, I remember the lock screen was definitely, as soon as I turned it on, that was probably the first thing I noticed.
Yep.
Same. Oh, and then of course the microphone icon on the lock screen now instead of the phone, which I don't really know that I care for that because you can always swipe up for Google now. I don't really understand the change, but whatever. Yeah. Maybe they'll change that by the time M is out in the fall.
There's also the launcher that scrolls vertically now.
Yeah, I have that on the latest ROM on my S3 for work, and I don't know if I'm a fan of that or not. I guess I'll just have to use it and see, but I don't know. I guess it is better because going left to right when you have 20 pages of apps kind of sucks when you have to get to Z.
What I do like is that the top row is like your most recently used apps. So if you only use like four apps 100 times a day, all of them will be right there. Which is mostly what every once in a while it'll be a different app for me, but for the most part it's just like four or five that I use every day.
Yeah, the main thing I want is an option though. Like I want to be able to go back to the old style if I had a choice to. It seems like Google, they don't know what they're doing because sometimes they have vertical, sometimes they have horizontal, and now we have this. It's just, they're changing it up so much. Just give us options for legacy versions of it and I'll be okay with it.
They did. They got Nokon Launcher. And Apex. And
yeah, exactly. You have to download third-party software, but, you know.
Yeah, then you don't get Google Now in your launcher, which, I don't know, that's why I use Google Launcher, is because I like Google Now being right there. I hate it being a separate app. I don't know, I've gotten weird about that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, so whatever. Speaking of apps, we have an auto backup for apps now. So a long time ago, Google introduced some kind of cloud support for apps where developers can build in saving your data into the cloud and stuff like that. There's a couple of apps that do it really well. You basically sign in with your Google account, like Flexi, for instance, is one that I could think of that syncs all your junk. But I guess this is more of an automated thing. Developers don't have to necessarily go in there and specifically write the code for it. And I think it does a lot better job, too, is basically what they're saying. Like, the one right now is kind of sporadic. It's kind of limited. This one is considerably better solution, which I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I guess I have that problem now because I do all these crazy Chinese phones, but I always run into this problem where, you know, my apps, some app doesn't have the data synced, and it's annoying because you always got to set it up and all this other garbage. And it's really good, too, for people who like to, you know, flash ROMs every other day or sometimes twice a day, you know.
Yeah, I unchecked the backup stuff because it used to, like, reinstall every app I ever downloaded. And that's a lot of apps. Now, some of these phones, there's not enough room for all those apps. Like, this blue phone I got today has, like, 4 gigs free. It won't install more than any of the games that I have. So I always uncheck that backup and restore. I know everybody's always like, go use Titanium Backup, but you can't use that on a rooted, or you can't root, you're not supposed to root a review device.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be bothered rooting a review device.
Yeah, so honestly, I stopped.
Backup's not really a choice for me.
Yeah, and I stopped using Titanium Backup probably a year or so ago, because I don't know, I started running into so many issues with restoring apps.
It never really worked, well for me. Kush's, I can't even think of what he named it, because he had to rename it. But that one, because it was Carbon at first, then he had to rename it to something else.
That's right. Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
That one worked the best
Helium for me. Helio or something.
Yeah, Helium. That one worked the best for me. Titanium never really worked like how I wanted it to. So
I'm actually a big fan of Titanium. I use it a lot, especially when trying to debloat Samsung phones.
that is definitely a place where it's useful.
And the Zenfone too.
Oh gosh, don't even start.
So many there that you can't even disable it.
Yeah. So I use Titanium Backup for that, and I do backup. I backup games, like apps I can reinstall. I don't care about, but games I always backup because, like, you know, you get so far in a game or whatever, like Monument Valley, and then you get a new phone and you don't want to start over. Like, man, I'm tired of these stupid crows yelling at me every time I go up a stupid hill, or you forget how to do a puzzle. So I like to backup my games and restore them.
I try to stick to games that have Google Play game service or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. That way, you know, it's synced to the cloud. I don't have to worry about just logging and it'll download all that stuff. Especially since most of the time when I'm playing games on my phone, I'm on a plane, so there's no Wi-Fi. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and I guess talking about stuff that drains your battery, Android AM is also supposed to help with battery drainage, particularly on standby. So they introduced a new feature called Doze, which... I guess it uses the accelerometers and just kind of figures out, all right, you're not holding me, you're not moving me around, so I guess I'll just shut off a bunch of stuff. And they've basically said that, at least on the Nexus 9, it doubles standby time.
Yeah, I haven't actually really been able to use it because I basically flashed the Nexus 6, went to the airport, came home, and then left it at home and went to Beijing. So I haven't really used it that much. But Tom said on his Nexus 9, it really has worked pretty well for him, but he went back to 5.1.1.
Yeah, that's, you know, Doze is a really cool thing, but I was expecting better battery life because I hate to say it, but the iPad has amazing standby battery life. Yep. I mean, literally, if I go out
a month.
Yeah, no, and you're so serious too, because I can literally have my iPad in my bag and forget about charging it. I mean, and hearing that it just doubles it, I'm like, you're still nowhere near your competition. So I was really disappointed by hearing that. Hopefully, it increases the standby time on phones as well, not just tablets. So I want to see how it affects things with the radio as well. And hopefully, I can get more than 13 hours on my S6.
Yeah, and they also are
going to be doing...
Nice. They're also doing like Bluetooth 4.2 and some other stuff too that might be more related to phones. So we'll have to see what all that stuff means. And
I wonder how it'll relate to like when you have it plugged or, you know, connected to like a smartwatch because, you know, it's using Bluetooth the whole time. So is it going to disconnect when it's dozing or whatever?
I don't know.
I would really hope not. I know they talked about app pausing and stuff, and that kind of crap makes me really nervous, so we'll see. So, let's see. Another thing is Android Pay, which is, I'm assuming, a revamped Google Wallet. They didn't necessarily go into a ton of detail about this. One thing that M does have is official fingerprint recognition support. So Android Pay will be full fingerprint recognition, you know, just like I guess Apple Pay is. Basically, how we assumed the fingerprint thing would work in the beginning. I don't know. It seems like they have a better foothold because right off the bat, there were a whole bunch of companies that announced partnerships with Google, MasterCard, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there's a bunch of banks and stories and stuff. I can't remember offhand. I know there was a lot, but I can't remember offhand who exactly they were.
Yeah, and I'm almost thinking that Apple had to do this first just to get these people you know, out of their chairs and like, oh, yeah, I guess maybe we can do this. Okay, fine.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking too when Apple announced, was it just Apple Pay or whatever?
Yeah.
I'm like, now mobile payments are going to take off.
Finally, yeah.
I hate saying that too, but it's nothing. No new technology becomes a thing until Apple does it. So
yep.
Yeah.
I mean, look how long we've had NFC since what, Nexus S maybe earlier.
Yeah,
and no one cares. It's still nobody really cares. Still
nobody cares. It doesn't.
I mean, Apple has it, but it's just for Apple Pay basically.
Yeah, and then so when Apple starts getting cheat charging and NFC to transfer pictures, it's going to change the world. Everything should be the best thing ever.
Yeah. When Samsung put cheat charging into the S6, I started seeing a lot more emails from PR people about wireless chargers than I did before. So Samsung is like that stepping stone. Once Samsung does it, then Apple's going to do it.
Yeah, true.
It's just going to explode. Because after Samsung announced that, IKEA announced a bunch of furniture with wireless charging built in, which I really want.
Yeah, I was saying, I'm surprised you don't have it, man. I'm surprised I didn't see you at IKEA down the street.
I have to get reviewing it first.
Ah, yeah.
There you go. That's it. That sounds like a bunch of those little Qi charger things I saw at CES, too. All the furniture.
I was surprised that they're available already.
I think
it went on sale like right before I.O. or right after.
It's nice to see.
Yeah, a lot faster than I thought it would be. And there's some stuff, too.
They said spring, so I figured fall.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of stuff too to retrofit your current desk, so you can like put like a panel underneath your desk and plug that in. So I think that's cool to make like a Qi hotspot for your desk to set your phone down when you get home, or set your phone down when you're working and it's charging at all times. I think that's amazing.
Although I have zero wireless charging devices. Oh wait, I have the Nexus 6, but everything else doesn't have Qi.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't ever have anything. It sucks.
Well, I mean, I have the G4, but I don't have the right back for it.
Yeah, and that's what's really irritating. There's a lot of phones that support it, but you got to get a different back, or you got to get this, you got to get that, and it's
I have a card dock that can wirelessly charge phones, but it can't wirelessly charge any phone I put in there because none of them support it. Well, the Nexus 6, but I don't put it in there because if it falls, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the only other thing that I could think of for M... that's noteworthy is they made a lot of changes for enterprise support. So iOS has like 80% of enterprise. It's ridiculous. They literally just took BlackBerry and left it in the enterprise.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like 80% for Apple, and then the rest of it's between Samsung and BlackBerry. BlackBerry has like 2% or something.
Yeah,
I think their entire market share is enterprise.
Yeah.
So Google's making some huge strides to really pick up the slack that's just been missing. A lot of security stuff, over-the-air updates, app permissions. They even have duplex printing in there, you know. So they really
interesting stuff. Android at Work has been pretty popular, I'd say, this whole year. Because back at Mobile World Congress, there was a lot of Android at Work, like companies that were there that were integrating with Android at Work. I got a demo from, I don't remember the name of the company, but they had Android at Work built into it, and it was really nice. You know, really easy to use, seamless integration with like the Nexus 9, or I think it was Nexus 7. Well, it was really nice.
Well, it wasn't nice enough to remember their name, though. It wasn't that nice.
Well, you gotta think about how many events I've been to.
I know, I'm teasing. But you know, with Android at work, the thing that worries me about it that it might not catch on is because they didn't grab those BlackBerry customers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they grabbed, like iOS grabbed those BlackBerry customers, so it's gonna be a lot harder to grab someone from iOS to go to Android versus from BlackBerry, a dying brand, to something new. So that's the thing. I think they missed their opportunity already.
Those enterprise customers, they don't change OS as often, once a generation.
Yeah, like it took Microsoft to stop supporting XP for these people to finally get off of it. We're talking like 13 years of running the same OS.
And you know, I was on planes all this past week, and everybody I saw with a Windows laptop had XP.
It's depressing.
Or a really thick, like this thick Windows laptop, and that's how thick it was when it was open.
It's ridiculous.
It was just a keyboard, and it was Windows XP. I'm just like, yeah.
So we'll see how effective that stuff is. I don't know about you guys, but for me, the big thing in M was Google Now on Tap, which I think is quite possibly one of the most amazing features I've seen in quite some time.
So I said after the keynote that was probably the biggest announcement out of the keynote. But after I.O., I'm not sure it's the biggest one because of what
that did. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of stuff at I.O., but I don't know. That was really the one thing that caught my eye. So basically, I guess out there, if you have not heard or seen what it is, it's Google Now that you know and love, just in sort of a different form. So let's say you're in, I don't know, texting app or whatever, and somebody texts you something, says like, hey, meet at the movie theater, and then they give you like a reminder. I don't know, we'll just put a bunch of stuff in there. I think you can either hold down on the home button, or I've used it twice. I can't remember because I don't have a Nexus 6. My friend does. But you basically do that. It pops up a little card from the bottom of your screen, and it recognizes on, you know, whatever's on the screen, it figures out what to do with it. So if it finds, hey, there's a movie theater here, it'll give you a card for the movie theater and the location, maybe like your regular reviews that you would pull up on Google. It would also see that reminder in your text, and it would have a little calendar card. So it basically makes all these little cards instantly based on what's on the screen. And you're supposed to be able to do that with any app that's open. So they showed off a whole bunch of different scenarios at I.O., but right now the build of M that is out there that you can flash doesn't really have a fully working version of this, so you can't really test it yourself.
Yeah. It works for any app, and like, you know, developers don't really have to do anything, like put any extra.
That's what I understood.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
When I saw the demo on stage, it's just because you know how everybody freaked out when Google Now came out. Now they're gonna freak out even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice because it's not just one of those things where you're like, oh, hey, guys, check this out, and you do all these goofy little voice recognition things, and then you probably never use it on a regular day. This is actually something that is incredibly useful and keeps you from having to constantly go back between apps and copy-paste here and copy-paste there. And, you know, even I guess the improvements they made in copy-paste in Android M are, I don't want to say they're not needed, but
hopefully you
won't have to use them as much.
Did you guys hear the guy in the keynote when they were talking about copy and paste? This guy was like, finally!
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't know if the live stream picked it up.
We were all laughing so hard. You know, the thing that worried me at first when they were talking about M is how they spend so much time talking about the stupid volume button, or I mean the actual volume indicator. I was like, don't tell me Android M stands for more switches for volume, because I'll be really upset.
Yes.
Yeah, it's more. M-O-A-R.
More.
Android
more.
Yeah, exactly. But
no more desserts.
Hey, no, Android Milky Way, man. I'm still on that. Android Milky Way.
I thought it was you, Kevin, right? They said Android meh.
Meh. Yeah, Android meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
Android LS.
Yeah.
That works. That's pretty much what it is. So.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I expected. It's pretty much what I expected because last year was such a big update.
Yeah, I mean, we can't have that update every year. Nobody would know what to do with themselves if we had L every year.
And we'd have so many bugs.
Yeah, as long as they work on making things more consistent, they squash some of these bugs that have popped up. You know, that's what I'm concerned about because that's the stuff that pisses people off. That's the stuff that really breaks your day-to-day experience. new yep. features are nice, but when you're overwhelmed with new features, we all know how that is. Everybody had an S4. You just don't always want that.
Yeah. And the S5.
And the S5, and let's keep going, right?
Yeah, you know, it feels like we're always waiting for the next version of Android because there's always some bug that supposedly the next version of Android fixes. So,
like when they forgot December and was it 4.2?
They forgot December.
That was the best.
And the calendar. And the calendar picker. Well, you know, that was 2012, so everybody's worried about December 21st, 2012. So they just left out December.
I almost wonder if that was a joke. Since
that's what I wondered too.
Because so it was. That was so coincidental.
After December 21st, I think that's when it got added in.
That's so bad because a lot of people are stuck with the version of Android they have when they get the phone, so they have a screwed up calendar forever.
I don't know if anything came out with just 4.2. I think it was all like 4.22.
Oh, okay. Well, good then.
Unless you had like the Nexus 4, which launched on 4.2, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know, you had to update anyway.
Yeah, I don't think many people were affected. So,
yeah.
You know, we have a ton of other Android M stuff on the site. We can't go over everything tonight, but I think that was pretty much all the big stuff. There's just a whole bunch of other little stuff to do. They had a whole cute little change log they made in the form of an M and had all nice little words in there and stuff. So there's certainly plenty to it.
What did you guys think about ATAP's announcements?
I don't know anything about it.
Well, the one that... a lot of people were pretty interested in is they're able to build like sensors into fabric. So you know, there's like a little rigid area of like the fabric where you can swipe left or right to like change the music or turn on light bulbs or
do
stuff like that. And they partnered with Levi's to put that into.
That's jeans. Right, the Levi's thing. I forgot about that.
That
was one of them, and then. Well, of course, the one everybody's talking about, Project R at the end, where they just basically put together the phone, powered it on, took a selfie, and walked off the stage.
That's all you gotta do.
That camera, man, that needs help.
That camera looks like the HTC One right now. It's pretty bad.
It looks worse. It could also be the lighting, though, because there was a big light like right there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty terrible.
You know, live stage demos are probably not a good way to do it.
Yeah.
But you know what would have been really nice if he did that and say, you know what, I want to upgrade the camera even more and then take that off and then put something sweet on there.
Put this camera on. With the color spectrum sensor, the laser
auto. He just wants to show off the leather backing because he's so cool. He just wants to show it off.
Hey, let me get out the other G4. So you want... I don't know where it is.
That's Alex problems right there.
Oh, wait, that's the Zen
phone. Alex problems.
It looks the same from the front.
It's like I have a G Stylo here. Is that close?
Stylo.
That phone looked really cool at World Congress. Or no, maybe
I like it. I really do like it.
LG is mirroring nice cheap stuff phone. At MWC. They look pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good cheap phone, and the stylus is not just a capacitive stylus. It wouldn't work on anything else, which I thought was interesting. So it looks just like a capacitive stylus. So I guess speaking of these other phone manufacturers, Huawei announced a bunch of U.S. availability. I guess just two. So the first one is the TalkBand B2, which is their latest fitness tracker thing.
Yeah, they partnered with Jawbone for that. They announced it back in World Congress, but they're just now bringing it to the U.S.
Correct. And Huawei's had problems with bringing stuff to the U.S. before, so this is...
Even things that aren't
growing pains. Yeah, exactly. So it's... They tout over 3,000 apps support it. It's you know, it's a fitness tracker, so it's another one on the market.
Jawbone Up is integrated with it, which I thought was kind of cool, but I don't know. I guess I'd rather have Google Fit in there. Because that's what all the smartwatches use. So that's what I'm mostly using these days.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if it's something that makes sense for you, it's $179. You can buy it on Huawei's site. We have a bunch of information on the site as well. Just different places you can buy it. And then there's also the P8 Lite, which is... That's another one that they announced. What was it, about a month or two ago?
Yeah, they announced it for London. Or they announced it in London for Europe, basically. The P8 and the P8 Lite. But they can't even give us the P8, just the Lite.
Just the light. So this one is $249. That's off contract, of course.
And it runs KitKat.
And it runs KitKat, which...
We told them. We told them when we met with them on last week. Like, yeah. Do you really want us to say it runs KitKat? Because it's not going to be good.
It's, but what the hardware
is the people that are going to buy that phone aren't really going to care that it's running KitKat. And I think that's completely true. Because it's not going to be people like us that are going to be buying that. You know, it's going to be probably like our parents or, you know, somebody getting it for their kid or something like that. They don't really care if it's KitKat. They probably won't even notice because it's got Huawei skin on there.
Exactly. It's a Motion UI 3.1, which is their newest update. It's got a whole bunch of other stuff that they add on top of Android. You know how manufacturer skins work. So it doesn't even really look like KitKat. It's definitely its own thing. I don't know. Yeah. If you want to check it out, the hardware is pretty nice. You just got to deal with KitKat. So.
Yeah, their KitKat, or, you know, the Emotion UI 3, I think it's 3.x actually, because 3.0 had it. They have a lot of, like, Lollipop features in there. Well, the buttons, the on-screen buttons are the same as Lollipop. There's some other stuff in there as well, because it came out before it was known as Lollipop. Mate 7. There was a lot of Lollipop stuff on there. I was really liking it.
Yeah. And then the last one that you just got back from is the Meizu event where they did the M2 Note. You had that with you, right?
Yeah. It's glossy, so it gets dirty really quick. But yeah, this is the white version. It's 799 RMB, which is about 128 US dollars. So it's 5.5 inch. Full HD display, I think it's IPS. I'm not 100% on that.
It's the IGZO thing, IGZO.
Oh, okay, yeah, sharp.
Yep.
OctaCore MediaTek processor. I can't remember exactly which one it is, though.
It's 6753, I wrote it down.
Yeah, that one.
which is one step newer than what was in the M1 Note from a couple months ago.
It's got, was it, a 13 megapixel camera in the back?
Yep.
Which actually takes some pretty good pictures. I don't know if you saw the one I showed you earlier, Nick, in that hangout. But I took some low light pictures before we left Beijing, and man, it took some really nice low light pictures.
Yes, I saw it. It was nice.
When you think about it at 128, I mean, that's Moto E price.
Yep.
And I actually think Moto E is probably under 100 now, depending on where you get it from. I think it has 2 gigs of RAM. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, 2 gigs. And then it's got dual SIM as well. And it's not KitKat.
Yeah, it's 5.1, not just 5.0.
Oh, wow. That's not bad.
Especially for coming out of China.
And for $130.
Because they can't get to Google without VPN.
Yeah, that's what it is. Maybe that'll be lifted soon enough if those rumors of the Play Store and all that stuff coming out of China are true, right?
Probably can't see it, but it's 5.1. I guess that's 5.0.0 because it's 5.1.1. But it's Flyme OS 4.5.
Nice.
Yeah, for a minute we kind of got worried because at the event they do English translation for us that don't speak Mandarin. And they were saying the M1 Note 2. And we were like, no, that can't be the name. That's just too bad.
Please, no.
So they asked them after that. They're like, no, it's the M2 Note. We're like, good, good. Please don't call it the M1 Note 2. This phone actually solved one of my annoyances with Meizu phones. Nick probably knows all about this. You know how they have that bar at the bottom for the back button?
Yep.
Now you can swipe across on the home button to go back. So it's basically a trackpad.
Beautiful.
They brought back the trackpad, basically.
That's pretty cool. That works.
They call it M-back. Well, they have, like, I think it's M-Pay or M-Wallet that they did with the M4 Pro. So
yes.
Everything is just M, like Samsung does S everything.
Yeah, it's their thing, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care. Generally, I like Meizu a lot. Their stuff is really fast. It's generally pretty light. The skin's not ugly.
Not bad at all. I mean, there's, like, no bloatware on here at all. I mean, maybe the Painter and the Memo app, but you know, other than that, it's not really any bloatware at all.
The stuff that's on there I thought was pretty useful normally.
Yeah.
It's not like crazy, I don't know, carrier garbage that you wouldn't touch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. That's
that with a lot of the Chinese phones, even with the Xiaomi stuff. But you probably know better about that stuff than me.
Yeah, they don't use it. I mean, because they don't have the carriers over there, so there's not really any reason for them to put all that crap on there. They have their own little app store and their own little thing, and that's pretty much all you find on there. Occasionally, you'll get some Baidu stuff.
It's funny when you open up like the app store or the app center they have, it'll come up with pop that says only Chinese content is available now. More languages will be coming soon.
Yeah, they've said that forever.
Yeah, I showed that to them, and I'm like, this always makes me laugh. And you're like, yeah, it makes us laugh too. You should be fixing that.
Exactly. You know what else is irritating with those is they always put antiviruses and battery this and that and the other thing on there too. And those freaking irritate me so much. That's like this thing, the G-Stylo, right? It comes with Lookout and some other crap on there. Get rid of this garbage.
Everything comes with Lookout. Every carrier device.
So annoying.
Man, I hate it. First thing I do on any phone is disable that thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Every carrier phone I ever get.
Lie about Android. It's so irritating.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know why Lookout exists. I think it's the G4, I think, has Lookout and McAfee.
Honestly, it exists because they can make money off of it and people are suckers. Yeah. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the G4 that has McAfee. Maybe it's the G3.
I'm not surprised.
But I know there was some phone that had both Lookout and McAfee. One of them had those two and Norton. It's like, Norton existed.
I heard you like your processors on all cores. Go.
It's not in there because I only have Lookout and Gmail disabled.
Beautiful.
Gmail's disabled because I use Inbox. So.
Yep, same. I do the same thing.
Yep.
Although it doesn't have signatures, and I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't look all that professional when I'm like emailing PR reps.
Yeah, that kind of sucks because I have to go back to Gmail when I want to send an email with my signature. Or I put my signature on a clipboard, on my clipboard manager, and I paste it. But
yeah, I always forget.
It seems very simple, though. You know, add a signature.
They say it's coming soon, but. Well,
should have been here then.
We don't know what that means.
That's such a basic thing. It's funny. I don't ever send work emails from my phone, so.
Yeah. Well, I use Inbox on the web. I use Inbox on the web, too.
Yeah, me too.
Every once in a while, I'll send work emails from my phone, but I'd rather do it from the web because, you know, Swifty likes to change words around.
Flexi for the win.
I mean, every keyboard does it. Even Mizu's keyboard. Mizu's keyboard couldn't even spell Mizu correctly. It changed it to Mizu. <What the
heck? laughs> That's great.
It's like, it's your own keyboard. It's not like a Swift key or something.
That's pretty bizarre. Jeez, man. All right, well, I don't know about you guys, but that's about all I got for the night.
Well, we have the Alcatel OneTouch Idol 3 giveaway still going.
Ah, duh. Sorry.
I forget when it ends, though. I should probably know this since I wrote it.
That's all right.
I think it's the end of the month.
When an Alcatel OneTouch go, you know?
I think it's the end of the month, though. Kevin also has one on his channel. Or is it over?
No, it's not over. You actually have two more days to go until you can win the Alcatel OneTouch Idol 3. Yeah, here it is.
I have one, too.
Yes.
And
I'm waiting on the 4.7.
You can have one, too.
I'm waiting on the 4.7 inch to come up, because that one I think will be good for like my mom or dad.
Yeah, I keep hearing about it. Look at this. It's still in the wrapper, which in my opinion is one of the best budget phones you can buy.
The fact that it's reversible is so cool, and that's all they talked about when I met with them.
You know,
you can pick it up either way.
You know, the thing about it being reversible, I didn't care until I used it. And I was like, that's kind of cool. What does that even mean?
Well, you can, you know, like, you pick up a phone, you usually pick it up like this. You can use it like this, and it looks exactly the same.
Oh, so it flips 180.
Yeah, and it has a dual front-facing speaker, so.
Yeah, it looks exactly the same.
Except for, you know, then you have the hardware buttons on the side, because you've been holding like this for 5 minutes, and you're like, what the heck, you got to go down here. But
yeah. It has
really majestic.
It's dual front-facing JBL speakers, and it comes with JBL Harman headphones as well, or earbuds.
Nice.
Yep.
The camera is, I don't know, it wasn't my favorite, but it wasn't terrible. What did you think?
It's decent. I think the camera's it's decent. I mean, it's
the battery life is pretty good. It's completely stock Android.
Yeah,
there's like a few customizations, but it's pretty much completely stock Android. And I was getting like, I think 3 to 4 hours of battery or on screen time with like LTE. Works on T-Mobile, AT&T. Yeah. I don't think it was band 12 though for T-Mobile. I'm not sure.
I had no complaints about it at all, really. The camera was decent. I mean, it wasn't the best camera in the world, but I've seen a lot worse from a lot of other phones. The screen was very saturated, and it looked really good. Considering the price point, it really stunned me how good of a phone it was. I just think the darn phone on the back is ugly. I really hate how the back of the phone looks.
The back isn't my favorite part either.
Yeah, but beyond that, it's a rock solid phone. I recommend it to anyone who's in the market for a phone around $250 to $350.
And it doesn't overheat.
Nope.
It's got the Snapdragon 615 in there.
Yep,
615. I did notice a little slowness, like when I have a lot of apps open.
Yeah.
Clear them away and you're good. At 250, I mean, it's hard to beat that.
Yeah, I've noticed that about the 615 too. I don't know if that's just an issue with the 615
I need to talk to John because he has the P8 Lite, and that one has a 615 as well.
Yeah, and that was in the I just did the Nubia Z9 Mini, and that had the 615 in it as well, and it was the same thing. It was like, why the heck is this stuttery? This is a friggin' octa-core 615. This is bizarre. And it was even 64-bit Lollipop too. I was expecting something different.
ZT Nubia Z9 is actually coming to the U.S. in Q3, I think it is. So ZT is doing what Huawei's doing, basically just selling it direct to customers. I don't remember what the price is, though. But I was surprised that one was coming to the U.S. I thought it was a hoax.
Hey, if they can get LTE and stuff over here, I'm all for it. That's the biggest problem with these other cheaper Chinese phones is they're always just 3G. You never get LTE.
Yeah, we asked Huawei about why they didn't bring HiSilicon over with the P8 Lite. Basically, it's because of LTE, you know.
Yeah,
Snapdragon, makes sense. It already has the, it's already been approved for T-Mobile and AT&T. HiSilicon hasn't, so it's just easier and cheaper to put in a Snapdragon 615. And their R&D factory is, like, across the street from Qualcomm in San Diego, so that also helps.
That works.
You guys good? Yep, that's everything I've got.
Sweet. All right, cool. Well, that should pretty much wrap it up for the night. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. As always, you can check us out on Instagram and Twitter. It's Android Headline without the S. Google+, Facebook, and Pinterest is regular Android Headlines with the S. Go ahead and check out Kevin on YouTube. I'll let you talk about your channel again.
Yeah, it's a mediocre channel with mediocre content. But you don't watch for the content, you watch for me. So, YouTube.com/TechNinjaSpeaks. Twitter, Instagram, same thing, Tech Ninja Speaks with an S.
Periscope, too.
Oh, Periscope. I'm the king of Periscope crashes, so follow me on Periscope, too.
Every time he does a Periscope, it crashes, so be prepared.
I guarantee you have a Periscope crash, you follow me on Periscope. And
you should Periscope with your face, because we forgot to talk about pay with your face, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, pay with your face. Yeah, that's my favorite thing.
That's another thing for another time, so have a great night, everybody.
See you guys.
See you guys.
Later.